Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We're going to continue our study of the book of 1 John this evening. As you're turning over to the book of 1 John, I want to encourage you to be reading this book. As I said, we're going to be spending some time in this great epistle that was written by the Apostle John. As we started looking at the book of 1 John this morning, this is something that we will continue in for a time. I do want to make just a brief announcement about the bulletin. I know most of you probably saw at the end of the bulletin, if you want to read the full article, you can go to www.christiancourier.com, an article written by Brother Wayne Jackson on baptism. Some of you probably have read some of Jackson's articles. He is a great, great writer. He has a very unique way in how he approaches different subjects like this, encouraging all of us to examine ourselves. I just want you to know, if you don't have the means to go to his website, we do have some copies in the office there by the computer. You will find the full article, and he'll mention all mistaken ideas. And so if you would like a copy of the full article, you will find that by the computer. Wanted you to know that that is available, but you can also go to his website, type in that title, and you will be able to look at the article that we put in the bulletin. Great article. Encourage you to read that, to be thinking about what Brother Jackson presents from God's Word. Well, tonight, as we study God's Word, we are going to continue to talk about the sweet fellowship that we have with our God. We might say one of the most glorious truths that we find in the Bible has to do with that fellowship. Remember, we pointed out that our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. God has provided a means by which sinful man can have fellowship. A way in which sinful man can have a relationship with God. We know, of course, that that means has to do with Jesus Christ. In John 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." Through Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship with God. And when we have fellowship with God, we have confidence in our eternal salvation. And as you stop and think about this great epistle that was written by the Apostle John, that is really the aim of this epistle, to build that confidence, that assurance that we need as we go through this life. I need to know that I'm saved, and I need to know that I am going to go to heaven. If I don't have that assurance, I will find myself discouraged. I will find myself growing weary. And I will find myself living in doubt, having a lack of faith, and ultimately, I will find myself being miserable, spiritually speaking. Well, God doesn't want us to be miserable. God wants us to live with confidence. God wants us to live in assurance that we have fellowship with Him, so that when He returns, that is, when His Son returns, we can have confidence at the judgment. And you will see that in 1 John 2, verse number 28. And so that we can have boldness in judgment. And you will see that in 1 John 4, verse 17. Again, 1 John 2, verse 28, confidence. 1 John 4, verse 17, boldness. We can have that confidence. We can have that boldness if we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. We can have, as we sing the song, blessed assurance. I need that assurance, and you do too. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that fellowship that brings confidence. And as we began our discussion of chapter 1, we talked about the deity of Jesus Christ from the first four verses. And as you stop and think about the deity of Christ, the deity of Christ plays an important role in having fellowship with God. Of course, when we are talking about the deity of Jesus Christ, we're talking about the God-man coming in the flesh, the Word becoming flesh. And we see John talks about those proofs. He says in verse number 1, we have heard Him and we have seen Him with our eyes and our hands have handled, and remember that descriptive term of Jesus, the Word of life. Think about the proofs that John is speaking of, that speak of the deity of Jesus Christ. As you think about what John is saying, we have heard Him. This has reference to what Jesus taught. We have seen Him. When I think about that, the apostles saw the miracles that Jesus performed. And remember what we learned about the miracles? The miracles give us confirmation. In John 20, verse 20 and 21, we see that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His apostles, of His disciples. But the ones that are recorded in the book of John, these have been written so that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. And so as we think about eternal life, as we think about salvation, as we think about fellowship, those words are synonymous, speaking of the same thing. We understand how important the deity of Jesus Christ is. The Word becoming flesh to be the propitiation for our sins, as we will be studying in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. That's why it was necessary that the Word become flesh, so that Jesus would be able to die in our stead, to be able to offer that perfect sacrifice to bring us, listen to the language of 1 Peter 3, verse 18, to bring us to God. That idea, to bring us to God, is speaking about the fellowship that we have with the Father and with the Son because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh. Who is He that will overcome the world? Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 5. Again, who is He that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. As I said, the Apostle John begins in a very unique way talking about the deity of Jesus Christ, the God-man, because it's an important element to the fellowship that we have with our God. The fellowship that we have with our God, as we pointed out, is not an intellectual theory, but an abiding reality based upon the deity of Jesus Christ. Remember when the Word was made flesh, Philippians 2, verse number 6, He didn't empty Himself of His equality with the Father. He emptied Himself, again, of His rank. Okay? Of His rank, not of His deity. We see that Jesus indeed was God in the flesh. And then number two, we pointed out that our fellowship is maintained as we walk in the light. Now, as you stop and think about the promises of God there in verse number 6, you can circle the word if. And if you take notes in your Bible, maybe on your paper, circle the word if and write out that the promises of God are conditional. That is, we maintain fellowship with God if, it's conditional, if, and notice this verb, it's in the present tense, if we walk. Notice that. Again, it's a verb, it denotes action. In the present tense, we're talking about continual action. John is describing a lifestyle in chapter 1. If we're going to maintain fellowship with God, we must walk, and notice where, in the light. But what does it mean to walk in the light? It simply means this. We are to live in harmony with the will of God. And listen to me, when we live in harmony with the will of God, we maintain fellowship. And remember what fellowship does for us? Fellowship brings confidence. Confidence in eternal salvation. You want to live in confidence? You want to know that you're saved and that you're going to go to heaven? You live in harmony with the will of God. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see what Paul is saying about the Word of God? Everything that we need to know and how to live this Christian life has been revealed in God's Word. It's found in the Word of God. God's Word teaches us what is not right, what is right, how to get right, how to stay right. And all of those points are important. And so when we live in harmony with the will of God, again, we have confidence in our eternal salvation. I want you to notice with me, though, again, verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship, listen to what John is saying. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, as we pointed out, a person can say that they have fellowship but not have it. You see, a person cannot maintain fellowship with God if they are walking in darkness. Another way of saying that is that they are living a habitual lifestyle of sin. And if you want a picture of that, read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, because Paul talks about those who live a habitual lifestyle of sin, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And you remember what Paul says? Were by nature, they weren't born in sin. That's not what the Greek word means. They were by nature, by habitual practice, the children of God's wrath. And so if we are walking in darkness, we're not in fellowship with God. We make ourselves an enemy of God. Really, we are the children of God's wrath, not in fellowship. The opposite of what it means to be in fellowship. So it matters how we live. And so a person can say again, I have fellowship with God, and they could be walking in darkness. They can be living in sin. And John says, if you're living that way, you don't have fellowship with God. He goes on to explain in verse number 8, if we say that we have fellowship with God, but we claim that sin has no real significance in our life, this is from verse number 8, what does John say? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Notice that there in verse number 8. If we say that we have fellowship and claim that sin has no real significance in our life, God is saying you're deceiving yourself. God reveals so much about ourselves from His Word. And I believe this is one of the things that we struggle with at times. Deception. The heart is deceitful above all things. We have to be careful that we don't deceive ourselves as we strive to maintain fellowship with God. And then he goes on to say in verse number 10, if we say that we have fellowship with God, but assert that we have not sinned, notice verse 10, we make God a liar. Again, we make God a liar, and His Word is not in us. His Word is not abiding in us. And so again, if we're going to maintain fellowship with God, we see how important it is to walk in harmony with the will of God. We see how important it is to see our need for God and the struggle that we have with sin. John is going to have so much to say about the subject of sin. And there's no question, as we stop and think about verse number 8, verse number 10, sin is something that we have all struggled with. Romans 3, verse 23, we have all sinned. We might put it like this from what we see in verses 8 and 10. Sin is a fact of our past. It's a fact of our past. I have sinned. You have sinned. But if we understand what the Apostle John is talking about, maintaining fellowship, sin will now be a fight in the present. As children of God, we are fighting against sin. Listen to the language of Romans chapter 6. And I believe Romans chapter 6 goes with this context of 1 John chapter 1 as we talk about walking in the light. Listen to what Paul says. Listen to the question that he asks in Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, Paul has just talked about grace in chapter 5, verse number 20. We see that the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And you can see that Paul is anticipating what these Christians might be thinking. Well, if my sin cause the grace of God to abound, if I continue to live in sin, the grace of God will continue to abound. That's not what Paul is saying. That is not what God is saying. And that's why Paul asked the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may continue to abound? What does Paul say? God forbid. May it not be so. And then he discusses, how shall we that are dead to sin? That is our life, that is our attitude towards sin. We are dead to sin. Look down at verse number 6. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Again, a fact of our past, but a fight in the present. It's important that we view ourselves properly. 1 John 1, sin is something that we struggle with. It's also important to have the right view of sin, because sin is so damaging. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. And this brings us to the third point of our lesson tonight, as we talk about maintaining fellowship. As we said, the deity of Jesus Christ is an important element concerning that fellowship. Walking in the light is necessary in maintaining fellowship with God. And then we come to the third point. If we're going to maintain fellowship with God, we must be willing to confess our sins to God. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. And notice the word if again. This is conditional. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. By the way, this idea, or in the original, carries the idea that this is something that we keep on doing. It's not a one-time action. This is something that we continually do. As we walk in the light, we confess our sins. He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be sure you make the connection between verse number 9 and verse number 7. Because as we walk in the light, as we walk in harmony with the will of God, God knows that we're not going to be perfect as we strive to live out His will in our life. He knows the flesh is weak. He knows we're going to make mistakes. And so He's encouraging us to confess those sins. But look at verse number 7. What is it that continually cleanses us of our sins? It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, there would be no fellowship with God if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we contact the atoning blood of Christ when we obey the gospel. That's, again, when fellowship begins. When we're baptized into Christ, those sins are washed away. But the blood of Christ continues to work on our behalf as we walk in the light. And as we confess our sins, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of our sins. You'll notice that Brother Sam mentioned that in his prayer tonight, asking God to forgive us of our sins. And listen, when we do that, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that continually washes away our sins as we live in harmony with the will of God. Don't treat your fellowship like a light switch, on and off, on and off. I promise you, you will be the most miserable person. Am I saved? Am I going to go to hell? Am I going to go to heaven? That's how you live your life. John is saying again, if we're walking in the light, if we're living right, in harmony, a lifestyle that brings glory to God, God knows we're going to fall short. He knows that we're going to make mistakes. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And that's why the blood of Jesus Christ continues to function on our behalf. I like the word picture. As you're driving down the road, as it begins to sprinkle and as those drops hit your windshield, what do? You turn on the windshield wipers and the windshield wipers will remove the raindrops. Well, think about the blood of Jesus Christ continually washing our sins away as we walk in the light and as we confess our faults to our God. You know, as you're looking at this, in verse number 9, what we're reading about is God's second law of pardon. God's first law of pardon, gospel obedience. God's second law of pardon is recorded right here in 1 John chapter 1. And the Apostle John, as he writes, is going to want Christians, and we'll see this later on in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 6, in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 9, but John wants Christians to develop the right attitude toward sin. Again, if we're going to maintain fellowship, it matters how we view sin. Solomon says in Proverbs 14, verse number 9, fools make a mock of sin. That is, fools act like sin is no big deal. And many of the jokes that you hear people making today center around sin, immorality. And again, God says a fool will do that. But if we have the right attitude towards sin, we're going to be more like our Lord in Hebrews 1, verse number 9, who loved righteousness and hated iniquity. We need to develop a hatred toward iniquity. We need to realize that it's because of our sins that Jesus died on the cross. And when we have the right attitude toward sin, we're not going to cover our sins. And you know, as I stand before you tonight and mention these things, it's easy for me to stand here and mention these things. How many elders, how many preachers do you know who have stood behind pulpits and preached from the book of 1 John only to find out that that individual may have been living in sin? Your sins will find you out. If not in this life, on the day of judgment, they will. And so it's easy to sit up here and talk about this. But God knows our heart. And this is something that we should take seriously because sin seeks secrecy. Remember, sin is something that we all will struggle with. And when we commit sin, there's going to be a tendency to try to ignore it. To try to be like Achan and cover it up. Man has the propensity to cover up his sins. That's why God exhorts us and instructs us and encourages us to confess those sins. Solomon says in Proverbs 28, verse number 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." Look at Achan. Look at David. Look at so many going through the Old Testament that did just that. They covered up their sin. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth them and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And that's what we have here in 1 John 1, verse number 9. And that's why we can maintain fellowship with God, that gives us confidence in eternal salvation. You see, tonight I can go home and I can put my head down upon my pillow and I can rest in peace, knowing that, you know, if the Lord comes, it'll be all right, because I'm in fellowship with God, and that gives me confidence. And the only reason that I can have confidence, not confidence in myself, not confidence in you, confidence in God, confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ, God saying that He would do what He says He would do, washing our sins away, forgiving us of our sins as we walk in the light, as we confess our sins. David would say in Psalm 38, verse number 18, "For I will declare my iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sins." You see the attitude? You see what David is saying? David had that godly sorrow that produced repentance. And because of that godly sorrow for his sins, David says, "I'm not going to cover them up. I'm not going to hide them. I'm not going to ignore them. I'm going to declare those sins before God." By the way, as you're looking at 1 John 1, verse number 9, if we are going to stand solid in divine fellowship, dear friends, as children of God, we must have a solid prayer life, because it's through prayer that we talk to God, that we confess our sins. If we don't develop a prayer life, how are we going to confess those faults before God? How are we going to ask God to help us? Again, this is something that we should do continually. Confess your faults one to another. The affectional, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I can't wait till we get to James chapter 5, beginning at verse number 13, going through the end of the chapter. So many will talk about James 5, verse 13, talking about those that are sick, call for the elders. Oh, that's physical healing? Oh, when we study that, we're going to see that that doesn't have to do with physical healing. Oh, the principles are there. That has to do with spiritual healing. Read the context and you will see the context is encouraging individuals to confess their faults. The context is encouraging those who've been overtaken in a fault to confess those faults. And then when you come to James 5, verse 16, in a congregational sense, this is something that we should continue to do as New Testament Christians who are striving to walk in the light. We confess our faults. We confess those ignorant sins. Things that we may ignorantly do at times. We confess all faults before God, recognizing our weaknesses, recognizing God's greatness, recognizing God's promises. You see, God stands ready to forgive, Psalm 86, verse 5, if we will meet His terms of pardon. And we're reading about those terms of pardon here in 1 John chapter 1. And those terms of pardon are necessary for maintaining fellowship with God. God wants us to experience the fullness of joy as we go through this life. And we can experience the fullness of joy by having fellowship with our God. And as we think about that beautiful fellowship that we have with God, that gives us confidence in eternal salvation, don't forget about the deity of Jesus Christ. Understand the importance of walking in the light. of living the right lifestyle before God, confessing our shortcomings, confessing our sins before God, and we can maintain that fellowship. The lesson is yours. I do want to encourage you to be reading this great, great book that really builds that confidence in eternal salvation. If we can help you tonight with anything, we ask that you come forward right now.